are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Wednesday, January the 22nd, and your boy is back in the saddle here in Detroit. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for your patience over these last couple days. We had no Monday show, and then the fill-in host came in. Chubbs helped us out on Tuesday. Appreciate him. And, of course, the interview with Andy Isaac. We've been away from the day-to-day affairs a little bit as I've been out west doing some vacationing back in town and trying to get back into the groove, listening to all the podcasts, reading all the rumors, all that good stuff. And we got to kind of get back in trade deadline mode, as that's what's important. As I was gone, the Pistons had a really impressive win, apparently, on Saturday night in Atlanta. And had a just as an unimpressive, well, not just as unimpressive, because it apparently was very good shooting again for the Pistons on Saturday night, but then lost the matinee in Washington. Of course, you always lose the matinee in Washington. I think that's 10 straight losses for the Pistons in Washington. So bad times there, but really nothing of note to change about this team in terms of what you should feel about them, the perceptions of them. They're still sellers. They're still sputtering to the finish line. We're going to talk about Sacramento a little bit later. That's tonight's opponent in Detroit, and just update where things are at with the Pistons record-wise. If you want to dream about the playoffs or where they're at in terms of the draft pick position, you just got to update where those are at. But most importantly today, we're going to discuss an injury from Tuesday night in the NBA that could be a useful one for the Pistons as the trade deadline nears 2 weeks from tomorrow. So 2 weeks from Thursday is the trade deadline, February 6th. We're also going to talk about the ups and downs of the Pistons' trade value situations. Couple guys on the way up, couple guys on the way down over these last couple weeks. And like I said, looking ahead to tonight in Detroit against Sacramento for their only trip to Little Caesars Arena. We remember Buddy Hield with the three-pointer at the buzzer last year. Controversial three-pointer. I remember going through that tape like the Zapruder film. The Reggie Jackson looked like he had a stroke while he was trying to defend it during it, but then if you look closely, and you had to look many times and look at the right angle, it did look like Buddy Hield actually did double dribble before that shot. And like I said, I saw some people tweeting about it, and I was like, no, no, no. But then, if you look close and you look at the right angle there, you could see that Buddy Hield actually did dribble and then just basically move the ball to the other side of his leg, dribbled again, which is illegal, can't do that, threw up the shot, made the buzzer beater, and literally ran off the floor at Little Caesars Arena for the win right about this time last year, I believe, as well. But another plug, check me out on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. I didn't get a chance to pimp too much my story that was in Monday's Detroit News. You can still check it out on DetNews.com. In-depth profile on Svi Mykhailiuk. A fun one to do, his days from growing up as a young boy and becoming a young professional basketball player in Ukraine, 4 years at Kansas, and then the Ukraine stuff was really interesting. Got in touch with Jason Washburn, who was a Battle Creek Central guy who played at the University of Utah, still a professional basketball player overseas. He had some good stories. He played his rookie season as a pro with a 16-year-old Svi in his hometown team in central Ukraine, so some really good stuff there that I was appreciative to get. Also talked to Svi's agent, got in touch with his dad over email over down in Chersky, central Ukraine as well. So good stuff. I was really proud of that piece, and you can still check it out on DetNews.com. Just search Svi, S-V-I, or Mykhailiuk. You should know how to spell Mykhailiuk by now. It's M-Y-K-H-A-I-L-I-U-K. It's fun to have the types of names that you remember, and then you're like, how do I know how to spell Mykhailiuk so easily? That's what happens when you become a writer of these teams. But more importantly for the today, here, and now for the Pistons is the only game on the schedule Tuesday night was the Clippers taking on the Dallas Mavericks and what was apparently an entertaining one that I did not watch. I was traveling throughout the day. But like I said, some big news for the Pistons in this one, as unfortunately the Mavericks suffered a 110-107 loss. But even more significantly than that was the fact that starting power forward, however you want to slice up him and Kristaps Porzingis, Dwight Powell, apparently a very bad Achilles injury, possibly a torn Achilles. I haven't heard that to be official, but all indications are that it's a Dwight Powell torn Achilles, that it's already been reported that he's going to miss the rest of the season. And we know the torn Achilles, you're talking about missing at least a significant portion of next season as well. So really bad news for the Mavericks to lose a starter at this time as a team who's kind of on the rise and hopes to make a nice little run in the playoffs this year, building around their young core that they have and those guys that they want to keep rising. And then throws into question a guy in Dwight Powell who they have under contract guaranteed for the next three seasons after this one at an $11 million per year number, a guy who is on an ascension in his career, who, as a nice 28-year-old on the rise. But this could be all for teams like the Detroit Pistons' benefit. We've talked about Dallas a little bit before this injury as a team that might have been interested in Andre Drummond, was linked to them at times in the Andre Drummond sweepstakes. But at first, when it appeared that the Pistons could be getting some real assets for Andre Drummond when the Woj bomb leaked at the beginning of January, it appeared that Dallas might not have the assets to really be a major player in this. And as you went through the trade machinations, the different possibilities that you might have, Dallas's offers didn't really stand out too much because, like I said, that lack of assets. Now that we've seen the trade market, I guess we could say cool on Andre Drummond. Atlanta seems like they're out, and they were primarily the team that we were focusing on earlier. Now it seems like you don't really need assets to get Andre Drummond, making it a little bit easier and making it more a possible trade partner for the Detroit Pistons. And Dallas suddenly might want to make a move to save their season. They are motivated, which could be a good thing for the Pistons. And you know, Andre Drummond's not the only guy out there. There's going to be some cheaper options that they could fill in as backup type of players. But if you're Dallas and you want to be a little bit aggressive, and Mark Cuban, we know, is willing to do those types of things. They've been looking for big names, all-star type players, for many years to join that team. They've struck out on a lot of free agents, and Andre Drummond could be a guy who they could see as someone who could fit in long-term with that team. And again, Montrezl Harrell's another guy out there who's expiring who might be worth a spin for them, but you just don't feel like the Mavericks have the assets to entice the Clippers into a deal like that. Whereas Andre Drummond, with the Pistons trying to unload Drummond for probably a variety of reasons, most of them because of the possibility of Drummond picking up the player option next year, makes kind of a lot of sense when you think about it. And there's a basketball reasons for this for Dallas that would make sense, because I think he could play with Kristaps Porzingis. It's strange to have such big players out there together, but you know, you got to do something to do separate yourself, differentiate yourself in the Western Conference. You can't just throw bad wings at Kawhi Leonard and hope the advantage comes from that and Paul George and guys like that. You're not going to find someone who's just going to stop LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers. You got to find a way to make yourself a little bit of a formidable foe to stop. So, you know, Porzingis plays offense a little bit like a stretch four anyway, more modern center, and defense like a five. He's a rim protector under the rim. So Drummond defensively can play with them a little bit, depending on the lineup. I mean, there's some of those Western Conference powerhouses, matchups are going to be an issue. There's some teams you really can't play Drummond and Porzingis together much, but there are some that they're going to make you pay on the other side of the court. And there are some teams that Drummond can match up with fours out there as well, possibly. So he can try to be active and freelance some defensively. We know about his proficiency for steals, and that could be enticing for Rick Carlisle as well. Maxi Kleber is kind of the other player in the big rotation for Dallas. Porzingis and Kleber can both shoot it from three, space the floor. It's important to have that floor spacing with Andre Drummond out there, obviously. The pick and roll with Luka Doncic could be fun for Andre Drummond as well. And it's a nice little one-year tryout for Dallas to see what Porzingis and Drummond could look like, what Doncic and Drummond could look like, what defensively this team could look like, and see if you want to go for that in the long term. So not only are you in some ways saving your possibility of having a strong finish, a long run in the playoffs this year, you're also giving yourselves a nice little long-term tryout with your two assets in Doncic and Porzingis that are certainly going to be here long term, what's that third piece? Could Andre Drummond be that third piece? And then, you know, Drummond could go back under the rim and do some of the rim protection when he's on the court with Maxi Kleber as well. So it fits. You know, Drummond's a versatile enough defender where it might make a lot of sense for them. And I've got some specifics that we're going to talk about with Dallas here after the break, along with who's up and who's down for the Detroit Pistons trade assets as the deadline is getting closer. Well, that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, we talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you can sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you can have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain or leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock the content that's going to help you focus, ease your stress, and help you sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Again, that's calm.com/lockedonNBA.
Yes, sir!
Look at the war chest for Dallas. Not a lot out there. They don't have the ability to trade their first-round pick for the next 5 years, I believe. 2025 will be the next available first-round pick. They traded two to the New York Knicks in the Porzingis deal, and because of the Stepien rule, they are not able to trade alternate seasons in addition to those two as well. So 2025, first-round pick, if you want to be patient and wait this out. You know, Doncic is a guy who pretty much, if he's healthy, guarantees you're going to be a very good team. So first-round picks, even after 2025, might not be very valuable from Dallas, but worth it maybe to roll the dice if you want to look very long-term if you're Ed Stefanski and the Pistons. Dallas does have Golden State's second-round pick this year, which didn't seem that valuable until Golden State went Golden State this year, so that becomes a pick that could be, you know, 32, 33, something like that. They have Utah's second-round pick this year as well, which Detroit had for about 24 hours as part of the Tony Snell trade, but then they unloaded that as they moved up a few spots for Davidas Servetus in what is, by the way, we'll talk about this, that might be one of the worst trades I've ever seen. The Pistons screwed up that Servetus trade, moving up a few spots and giving up a couple of second-round picks as well. And not particularly impactful because, you know, striking out, potentially striking out, we don't know what Servetus is ever going to be, but potentially striking out and a second-round pick isn't a huge deal. But giving up the chance to strike out on or to hit a home run on two of the other second-round picks, pretty amazing. Amazingly bad move on the surface right now from what it appears by the Pistons. The Dallas Mavericks have their second-round picks every year after this year as well. Another thing you can do, and this is a little bit far-fetched, is you could set up first-round pick swaps. Those alternate years that the Mavericks do have their first-round pick, you can swap on those. But obviously, with Detroit and Dallas, it wouldn't make sense for the Pistons to want to swap because Dallas is going to be better than Detroit, so you'd be giving up the better pick. However, if you make an alternate deal for like the Oklahoma City second round or first round pick from Philly for Derrick Rose or something like that, if the Pistons acquire a less valuable first round pick possibility, you know, maybe you could build that swap option into that. So there's some other ways you could go after this. As far as players, the asset that's most attractive is Courtney Lee's on a $12 million expiring deal. You also got Tim Hardaway Jr. out there. Maybe both would have to be included for Andre Drummond. Lee, like I said, expiring deal who probably would never play a game for Detroit. Tim Hardaway Jr. of Michigan playing well this year with Luka Doncic, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Dallas if they're trying to shore up their rotation by trading for Drummond to move Tim Hardaway Jr. because, like I said, he is playing well. And if you're adding to get Drummond in there, you don't want to cut too deep into your rotation. Tim Hardaway Jr. he's on a player option for next year as well. But that's about $18 million. But if he's traded, it's 15% trade kicker. So those values go up a little bit there. Here's the first deal I came across when I was throwing some names around here, and it was just Andre Drummond going to Dallas in return for the $12 million Courtney Lee contract, and Boban Marjanovic under contract for $3.5 million this year and next year. He can be your backup center next year, fill in on some of those minutes the rest of this year as well. And the prize asset coming over to Detroit would be Justin Jackson, which is the best asset in this deal, the wing from North Carolina. In this deal, the machination, the Pistons would be sending out like $7 million more, but because Dallas has a big trade exception from the Harrison Barnes deal that they made last year, that expires the day after the trade deadline. So that can work. They've got about $11 million to work with there. The big thing that makes Dallas able to have flexible trades is this Barnes deal. So it's pretty important. In this machination of a deal, the Pistons would not be acquiring any picks. That's a little bit of a bummer. But the way I'm looking at this, I don't think Dallas would do this deal. Justin Jackson's a decent asset. You're also giving up the Lee expiring. That's pretty valuable as well. And especially if there's no Drummond market, if the Pistons have to pick up the phone and recall Dallas and say, hey, I know we weren't feeling your stuff before, but we like it now. Obviously, that indicates that there's no market and that this isn't a deal that I think the Dallas Mavericks would agree to. So, in short, the Pistons would have to throw in some more and take back some bad. So figure out a way to balance it all a little more. So part two of my trade idea is everything that was included in the other deal. So with Drummond, in addition to that, the Pistons have to give up Tony Snell. And I know that sounds like a bit of a minus there to give up as well, and it is, but you'll hear why this might make a little bit of sense, because the Pistons are going to take on a bad deal themselves. So taking on Courtney Lee's expiring deal, a nice asset there. Justin Jackson, good asset there. And then Boban, probably a negative asset there, even though he's a useful player. But the Pistons would have to take on the entirety of the rest of the Dwight Powell deal, who, like I said, just went over and tore his Achilles probably on Tuesday night, and it's going to be an issue. But in my mind, that kind of balances the whole thing the other way, and that this isn't really fair for the Pistons. But that's in maybe you get a second-round pick added in, possibly even that Golden State second-round pick, although that might be a little bit of a pie in the sky. The reason that you do this, if you're the Pistons, obviously you get the cap flexibility. You're shaving off more than about $40 million of player options that Snell and Drummond likely pick up, in my opinion, this summer. And then you're committed to Boban, to Justin Jackson, and Dwight Powell for next year. That's $19.5 million. So in all, you're netting over $20 million in salary relief. You got Justin Jackson. Next year is the last year of his rookie deal. Then you get his restricted rights after that. Tall North Carolina graduate, but player from there. Took them to the national championship game. A really good three-point shooter so far this season. Really fitting in pretty well in limited, probably the back end of the rotation for Dallas right now. Again, backup center with Boban, which he didn't have all of this year. And I think that Dwight Powell would be a bit of a blessing in disguise for the Pistons. Dead money for most of next year, obviously, at $11 million, which isn't a good thing. But it helps, in my mind, the one-year rebuild. You do a little bit of a front office tank job next year. And then the following year, in the last 2 years of his deal, you've got Dwight Powell at about 30 years old on a nice two-year, $22 million deal, hopefully fully healed. He's an energy guy who does a lot of the little things, doesn't demand the ball. And I think you need to be thinking about what you can do to make this team good in 2 years, not next year, given that you have Blake Griffin's injury uncertainty and his huge contract. I just think that that's the plane that this team needs to be operating on right now. And that's why, ultimately, I don't see that kind of move, the version that I threw out there, happening, because I don't see the Pistons having the stomach to eat enough bad money to get the assets that they need at this deadline. I think they're trying to do a short-term fix here. They would love a Justin Jackson type, but probably don't have the stomach to take on the bad money that would demand getting an asset like that instead. And I don't know that they see, I don't know that this front office sees the value in having one more mediocre to bad season next year. I just don't think that that's going to be the way that they're operating. But more about the trade deadline. Derrick Rose continues to increase in value as time goes on. In my opinion, the 20-point streak continues for him, longest since his MVP season in Chicago. The report the other day from Chris Haynes says that the Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers are interested. Of course, that brings up the long Kyle Kuzma debate that's out there. You can talk with the 76ers about Zaire Smith. Neither of those teams have a lot of draft capital, although the Sixers do have some early seconds next year. I'm making that move. I've said it all along. I've been beating the Derrick Rose drum for a long time now, and it's an asset that continues to climb in value. I think that a lot of the contenders are going to be looking to jostle a little bit at the trade deadline, and I think that they will ultimately trade Derrick Rose. I believe that's what's going to happen. And I do think that is more of a 50-50 shot, and I do believe that Andre Drummond is less of a 50-50 shot. I do believe Milwaukee is a team to watch out for with Derrick Rose as well. A little bit of fourth-quarter insurance. Eric Bledsoe has proven to be unreliable in the playoffs, and I think that Derrick Rose is maybe a closing option. Could be a decent thing for Giannis and the crew to look at. Milwaukee wants to obviously not only give a chance of winning the title this year, but wants to prove that they can have other options for Eric Bledsoe, who's under contract for a while now, but it has been a little bit of an issue in the playoffs. So he's up in value, and I believe Markieff Morris continues to go up in value as well. Season high 23 against Boston the other night. Atlanta continued some strong scoring, 3 of 5 from three shooting there, 22 points. And then in Washington, his homecoming with the Wizards, he had 10 points but got tossed out of the game for a flagrant 2. And I don't know. I think that helps his trade value. It shows a little bit of the badassery that we know about Markieff Morris, the guy who's going to protect his teammates and play playoff-style basketball as well. Meanwhile, we know that Andre Drummond's trade value continues to plummet because of the lack of market, it seems, out there, particularly with the Atlanta Hawks. But the Dwight Powell respite might be a bit of good news for the Pistons in that respect. In addition to that, Langston Galloway. We know that the shooting continues to struggle for him. He, since we last recorded live here, I think he went 2 for 4 and then 0 for 3. So he's back to 36% on the season in threes. You could try to sell other front offices on the fact that the slump this time of year is something he usually goes through and he kind of recovers as the season goes on. Good luck trying to sell front offices on that pattern. But it's something that's in his past that possibly could be remedied going forward for teams who hope to acquire some shooting at the deadline in Langston Galloway. But first is first, and that's the Sacramento Kings coming to Detroit to take on the Pistons. We're going to talk about them coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertising working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Pistons fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, especially here in Detroit. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, I want you guys to do me a favor and go on Snapchat and watch Andre Drummond's reality show called Today with Dre. They've had 3 episodes out there, and I am nowhere near the target audience for the show. I know I'm too old to even be on Snapchat, but someone needs to explain to me what I'm missing here because it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. Why Andre Drummond would want that out there, I have no idea. I don't know. Again, the young folks are going to need to explain to me what's going on with Today with Dre. But anyways, Pistons at home tonight for the first of a 4-game home stretch. That's right, 4 games at home tonight, and then a Memphis on Friday, Brooklyn on Saturday in the back-to-back, Cleveland on Monday. Winnable games, all of them. But we talked about this winnable stretch that they have that they're in the midst of right now. 11 of 12 opponents under 500, a lot of home games, a chance to get things under control, go on a run, go a little playoff push here. And in this easy stretch, the Pistons are 3-4 so far. So I guess newsflash, this team sucks. This season sucks. I know it's hard to believe. But this homestand, all winnable here. Sacramento, Memphis, Brooklyn, Cleveland. And again, you feel so down about this team that you're thinking 2-2 at a max, even though a real team would possibly take all 4. Good signs last week with Boston and shooting out there and then shooting in Atlanta as well. But I think that if you had some hope after a couple wins ripping the Nets on the road, that then you go ahead and lose to Washington in the annual beatdown on Martin Luther King Day. I thought he was supposed to be a nonviolent guy, but the Wizards are certainly violent against the Pistons on MLK Day. Maybe a little poorly themed joke there. But the Pistons, 16-28, as we know, 12 games under 500. Sacramento is 15-28, even more disappointingly, as they had high hopes that their young core would make a step this season. They are on a five-game losing streak as we speak. The Pistons are Sacramento is playing the third game of a five-game road trip themselves right now. And if you can believe this, the Pistons are 1.5-point favorites in this game, sitting in ninth place alone in the Eastern Conference, just three games behind the Brooklyn Nets, who they play twice in the next couple of weeks. So dare to dream, Pistons fans. Dwayne Dedmon's not playing all that much, coming off the bench for Sacramento. He might get traded. Maybe he'll end up in Dallas. Ironically, it could be the reason that that Drummond doesn't get moved, because players like that might be on the block as well. But Marvin Bagley starting at center, not a lot of defense there over Dedmon, so that's probably not great for Sacramento's team. Andre Drummond is questionable for this one after he took the blow to the lip on Monday in Washington. Again, where's that nonviolence? But you know who else is questionable? That's right, Reggie Jackson. Possible that he could make his return tonight. We'll see on that. Could help out because Tim Frazier's out with the flu, in addition to the usual suspects for the Pistons on the injury list. Blake's out, Luke Kennard's out, Kyrie Thomas out as well. Markieff Morris is probable with a right toe hematoma as well. So that's kind of the lowdown on the injury report there. Sacramento only Rashawn Holmes is the only one out. He was having a really good season for Sacramento, but he's out with right shoulder soreness right now. So a little bit of a blow for the Kings there with Holmes, who is not certainly someone that you would hope to figure into your plans in a huge way, but certainly was one of the better players for the Kings so far this season. We'll see how it goes down. Anxious to watch this game along with you guys tonight. Check me out on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Glad to be back in Michigan and glad to check out. I'm not super glad to be back in Michigan given the weather and how cold it is here, but glad to be back in Pistons land with all you guys. This is your host, Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons Podcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.